All right, it's your last chance this morning. Who would like to sing instead of me? Someone else want to stand up here and sing, or would you like to hear an old beloved song that the Lord put on my heart for us? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me, and I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because I am free, and His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives way to sighing, God is watching us. He knows us. He understands our infirmities. He's acquainted with them. That's what we learned today in our Sunday school lesson. And I invite you to turn with me to the Old Testament today, to the 84th Psalm. Psalm 84. It's a beautiful chapter, and the psalmist is hungering and thirsting for the courts of God. You got to say amen. Psalm 84. We're going to start at verse 1 and read the entire chapter. And I am reading out of the King James Version this morning. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And here's our verse that we're looking at this morning. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would indeed this very moment visit us with your word. Teach us, Lord. May the words in my mouth, the meditations in my heart, and the thoughts in my mind be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And Lord, may the message that you've placed upon my heart be your word before us, that we might know you more dearly and love more patiently, and indeed our hearts be stirred. We ask you this in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, open us. Word of God, have your way. Amen. I want to tell you a story. There is a place in southern Illinois. It's a place called Beulah Institute. Now, it's not a prison. It's not an institution, per se. It's a holiness campground. And every summer, youth from many, many churches in the United Methodist Church in the Illinois Great Rivers Conference gather there. And they come for about a week, and they come to worship about 400 strong. I was there several summers in a row taking a bunch of teenagers to camp. Anybody ever done that and still has hair is fortunate. But there was a highlight, and the very first time we went, it changed everything for the youth group of the church I was pastoring. You see, there's a tabernacle there. It's open air. It's wooden, and it's about 450 that it can seat. It doesn't seem like much, and when you're there, you can hear okay, and it's outdoor, so you're going to have some bugs, and they got ceiling fans that blow the air around so you don't have too many. And it's kind of uncomfortable because they're wooden benches. and they creak and they're sagging a little bit. And who would expect that this place would have much to offer? But would you know that every single night at least 10 or 15 youths gave their hearts to Jesus Christ? It was on the fourth night, a Thursday night, when one of the boys in the youth group said, I got to go down there. God won't leave me alone. And he went down there. His name is Reed. He went down there and he prayed, and another of his friends went down there and prayed. And I saw several other youth. And so I went down there as his pastor and went and prayed with him. And as he was praying, he began to squall before the Lord, just crying his eyes out. When he stood up, he said, I've got to tell you something. And I said, what? He said, while you were praying over me, Jesus Christ came into me. And now I belong to his family. And he was just happy. And from that point on, he was a different person, completely different. His best friend who prayed with him didn't pray through that night. But he found a place where he felt safe. See, this young fella, his father is an alcoholic, very abusive, and no longer associated with him. His mother, we don't know where she is, he was raised by his grandparents. He saw his dad about once every 6 months or so, and only to see him berate his son and tell him how worthless he was and how worthless his mother was. And so he really didn't have any parents, but he had grandparents who loved him. But he began to find a place of safety there that night in that tabernacle. And every morning there was worship, afternoon was worship, and evening was worship. And he said to me one evening, after everybody had finished with the worship service, about 10 o'clock at night, he says, will you go back with me to that tabernacle? I need to pray some more. I feel safe there. We walked in. It was interesting because the lights were still on. It kind of had a glow, even with the lights off. But the eaves and the roof came to about 7 feet off the ground where you walked in. And as we walked in, we heard some noise. We looked up, and there were nests there. And I said, isn't that amazing that even birds like this place and feel safe? And he and I sat there and prayed for about an hour. He's not a praying type. But in that place, he was so moved, he said, I got to come back again in the morning and pray some more. I can't get enough of this. God is here. I got to be here where God is. I feel like God cares for me now. And so every night, every morning, anytime we had a free time, we went back to the tabernacle and just sat in the presence of God, talked about Jesus and prayed. Do you have a safe place in your life like that? A place where you can say, I go there, God is there, I know it. Do you know a place like that? We renamed the tabernacle affectionately. We called it the Nabertackle. He said, I got to go to that Nabertackle. He couldn't say tabernacle real well. His voice and his mouth wasn't exactly formed right. So he always called it the Nabertackle. And we said, let's go to the Nabertackle and pray. And that was a place where he found safety. And we all met God there. Beautiful place. When I was in seventh grade, I was there the first time. When I was in ninth grade, I was there the second time. And in ninth grade, the Lord met me there. So there was a special connection for me as well, that God had spoke to me in that same place. Well, it's interesting because in our psalm today, this 84th psalm, it says that sparrows and swallows find a house in God's dwelling place. Again, I ask you, do you have a place in this world where you feel unconditionally loved by God? Do you know that place? I can take you to the place where God met me the first time and I became His child. I can take you there. When I walk in, I get trembly. I feel God. I mean, I get quiet. I feel as though I'm walking on holy ground. That's the kind of place I'm talking about, where you know God has been and you're like Moses, I got to kick my shoes off here. This is holy. This is the place where God met me, and I know that. Someone once said, if you want to have some defense against the devil, just remember the place and the time and the day and tell him, I met Jesus there. You got no business with me. One song says, I can tell you the time and I can show you the place. I can do that. I can tell you how it happened. One of these days I'll share with you my testimonies. For me, it's still powerful because God is still working out that day what He worked in. But as we look through this 84th Psalm, there's something that catches my eye, and I hope it does yours. It's there as we look at it. If you look with me to verse 7, it says, they go from strength to strength. Now that doesn't mean that you move from one strength to another strength. It means that you go from your weakness to a greater level of strength when you follow God. You get stronger in God. And this psalm, by the way, is a journey psalm where they're traveling to the temple to worship. And there's places like Baca and places of springs along the way in this particular location where they're going to worship. And what he's saying here is, all these places restore us, but I'm going to a greater strength. You see, in our lives, we get places where it restores us, but it only restores us so we can go further on the journey. Because we're not content with just a little bit of what God has. We want all that He has for us. Yes, Lord, let me feast on this blessing You have for me right now. But Lord, I know tomorrow I'm going to be beyond this blessing and I'll need another one. But I'll also trust You in it. Because You provided for me before, I know You will again, and Your word never fails. And so we move from one blessing to the next, never satisfied to stay in the old blessings. You know, I will say this. Last Sunday, we had a very wonderful meal. Very appreciative of that. And your welcome was very gracious. I thank you. And I took two plates of food home. One with dessert and one with the main course. And I'm just saying now that you can't stay in the blessing. Well, Monday and Tuesday I stayed in the blessing. I ate for 2 days on those. Quite happily. Monday was dessert day. Tuesday was main course. I decided to do it the Italian way. I think that's who it is that does this. They eat the dessert first, so they're not too full for it. And I ate the dessert on Monday. Very good even on Monday. But you know, after we eat a big meal, I don't know if you ever ate so much you feel like you're never going to need to eat again. Well, for some reason, yeah, you eat more than me. I don't know how you do that. I'm telling you, you must have a blessing there because I'm a lot heavier than you and I eat a lot less than you. Man. But I tell you, the blessing is that when we get so full, we say, I'm never going to need to eat again. But guess what? Sure enough, next day, a few hours later, we need to eat again. If we're satisfied with what we got, remember Esau sold his birthright so he could eat? He lost everything for a moment to eat. He was satisfied with the blessing here and now, not the one in the future. We eat now so that we have energy for tomorrow. The food we eat today isn't to help us be strong today. We already got that. It's for tomorrow. The blessing we get now sustains us to the next blessing. And that's what it's talking about in strength to strength in verse 7. And then we get to verse 10. And this verse, there's a song about this verse, and I couldn't stand the song. For 3 or 4 months I've been listening to that song, and I couldn't stand it. It's called Better Is One Day. Maybe some of you have heard it. It's a Christian contemporary praise and worship song. And it says, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day in thy courts than 1,000. And it sings that, and I said, I don't like this song. That changed this week. And I want to share with you the blessing that God did. You see, Wednesday evening, a friend of mine and I were talking, and they said, you know, I see some things in your Christian walk you need to improve on. And I said, I can't believe you said that. You're my friend. And they said, if I was your friend and didn't tell you, would I really be your friend? And I was really upset, not because they said it, but because they were right. Y'all think you got a good Christian walk? Ask your spouse. Ask your best friend, hey, is there anything I can improve on? You might just say, is there one thing I can improve on? Don't say, is there anything, because there'll be free reign then. Just say, is there any one thing I can work on to make me a better Christian, a better husband, a better friend, a better spouse, a better wife, a better father? Tell me. You're going to get an earful. And you're going to say, wait a minute, I thought I was doing okay. Yes, but we can always get better. Last person who didn't need to get better walked on water, and the only person in this room that does that is someone who's walking on ice. I promise you, we all can have room for improvement. We all have room to get more complete in Jesus. We all have room to get closer to God and taste more of His goodness. Well, they told me that, and I got mad, so I don't think I want to talk to you anymore. I didn't say that, but I just said, I'm just not going to talk to them. You know, they're going to say stuff like that. It wasn't anything bad. It was just something that I didn't want to hear. I got up the next morning under conviction. I said, Lord, what if they're right? What if they're telling the truth and this is really hindering my walk in this way? And I said, gosh, I don't know what to do about this. And so the Lord put on my heart, He said, why don't you write down where you give your time to? And so I did. I said, well, today I did this and this and this and this and this. And He said, okay. Okay, what about your meditation and your devotion period? And I said, well, I'm going to do that sometime today, God. He said, what about your preparation for the message? I said, well, you know, Lord, that'll come. And He said, well, look what you got first. And I looked at it and I said, Lord, that's not important to me, what I put my most time to. And He said, well, then why are you giving most of your time to what doesn't matter? What doesn't change you or help you move forward in grace? You know, when the Lord deals with you, it doesn't always feel good. When God shows you a place in your life where you're just not measuring up, or when He wants to do some surgery on some stuff He wants to root out, or if you have a painful memory and God brings it to you and He's saying, I want to heal this now, it hurts. And I stood there before the Lord and I said, help me put this in the right order. And He said, okay, number one is me. Prayer, meditation, devotion, praise. That should be your number one priority. Everything else, remember, seek me and my kingdom, my righteousness, and all this other stuff will fall in place. It'll all be added unto you. I'll take care of that if you take care of the number one thing, and that's me, your relationship with me. As I said that, I said, Lord, that's kind of hard to do. And He said, it's not hard if you want to. It's never hard to love God and worship God if you want to. Only if you don't want to. And so I stood there in the conviction. Of course, when the Lord deals with me, I get emotional. So I'm standing there in my kitchen looking at my list and I'm weeping before the Lord, not because he's doing surgery, but because I left him out of the first part of my morning. And I know that that's how I start my day right. But I hadn't been doing that. He'd gotten second place, third place, to other things I needed to do. To me, they were something that just had to be done. And the Lord dealt with that and said, I'm taking care of this now. Help me. Well, I thanked the Lord for my friend that morning for showing me the areas I was missing. And I began to pray, Lord, now that you got me in line, help me out some more. Help me be a blessing to other people. Thursday night, I got a phone call. In May, on the 16th, one of my best friends got married. Now, he was a client there at rehab that I had helped over a year ago, who has been clean and sober now for over a year. He married a lady who also is in recovery. And on Thursday, she calls me crying. And she says, I just want you to know that I'm leaving my husband. And I said, you've been married how many days? 30? 35 days? And you want to leave him already? She says, well, his daughter's giving me problems, and I just don't want to deal with it. I got issues. I'm leaving. The first thing I said is, why do you want to make him suffer worse because you got issues? Why don't you deal with your issues and not put him through suffering too? And she said, well, I just can't do that. I can't handle his daughter, da, 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 going on and on and on like that. And finally I said, okay, who's the adult? Who's the adult? Hello? She said, well, I am. And I said, well, then be one. She's a kid. 12 years old. She doesn't run you. Unless you're not strong in the Lord, and then this, you're coming under attack. And you have to claim what you claim in Jesus Christ and begin to act on that. You know what she said? She said, I don't know if I can do that. And I said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you know what she said? She said, that's right. But I still think I ought to leave my husband. And I said, where is he? He said, he's right here. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You've been having some emotional problems. You've had some surgery on your heart recently. Why don't you wait until you recover from that and not make any rash decisions? And she says, but I'm so depressed. And I said, God doesn't want you depressed. Nowhere in the scriptures say, thou shalt be depressed in the kingdom of God. God does not want us miserable. It says peace, joy, love, patience, long-suffering, endurance. These things are fruits of being in God's kingdom. These are what we enjoy. A sound mind, spirit of power and strength, and a sound mind. Not weakness, fear, and timidity. And here she is going through all this stuff. And I said, listen, you're not acting like you belong to Jesus right now, because Jesus is bigger than what you're going through. You've made Jesus too little and your problem too big. And she said, what do I do? And I said, well, it's funny you should ask, because this very morning, the Lord convicted me that I need to get on my face before him more often and get back in his word even heavier early in the morning. And she said, okay, I'll do that. And I said, go get your Bible. She says, I don't know where it is. I said, that's a problem. If you don't know where your Bible is, that's the problem. I said, go find it. Get into it. Let me talk to your husband. So I talked to him a while, calmed him down, and apparently they're working it out. But you understand, I couldn't have done that had I not straightened that mess up about my mornings first. God had to get me into a place where I could minister to someone else. God wants to use this to be a blessing to other people. That means the strength that God gives me, I pass on to someone else. If I don't let God help me, I can't help you. Because I don't have anything to give. We first receive, and then we give what God has given to us. Right? If God's going to bless you, certainly you're going to bless someone else. But if you don't have anything, how can you? Let me share with you how the Lord convinced me. It was very simple. Because as I was looking over my list of priorities of my day, I said, God, I really enjoy this. He said, but that's your last priority of the day. It's the last thing you need to do, and you've made it your first thing. And I said, Lord, but I like that. And we argue with God. Anybody here argue with God? I argue with God. You argue with God? God, you know I need this. Nobody else argues with God in this room. Everybody else has a perfect relationship with God. When he says something, you go, yes, God, okay, I'm going to go out and do that. Yes, Lord. Some of us don't do that. I don't do that all the time. I'm sometimes raising up my hand saying, hold on, God, I got something I got to do first. Well, here's what happened. The Lord said, if you never, ever, ever, ever in your life did that last priority for you again, would you be okay with that? I said, God, that'd be painful. He said, well, what if you never, ever worshiped me again? Which do you prefer? And as I stood there, and this is when my tears fell, I said, Lord, you know, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. How could I but say, Lord, I'd rather have nothing in you than everything without you. You see, when God calls us to himself is when our revival truly begins inside. Messengers like my friend calling you to accountability are God's agents from the distractions from God's presence. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts says it like this. I've been ministering for a long time, he says. I've suffered many things, and I'm teaching people the way. I like that. There's a Bible that came out in the 70s called The Way. Jesus says, I am the way. Think about this. If you want to know how to get to my house from here, most of you know I live in Columbus. But if you left now and drove to Columbus, how long would it take you to find it if you didn't know the address? And how would you know when you got there if you didn't know what you were looking for? We have to know the way. And we have to know where we're going. And if we don't say, Lord, my desire is to be in your presence and to worship you and you alone, how am I going to know the way? Psalm 84. The birds find safety. Young man, 13 years old, finds peace in his heart and life for the first time in God's presence. He moves from one level of strength to the next until he can come before him and say, Lord, I'd rather be here one day than anywhere else for 1,000 days. Because I find myself here in your arms. I find safety, I find strength, acceptance, and the ability to move forward in life. Simply put, isn't it? Psalm 27:4, if you've ever read that, says, one thing have I desired, and that's to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of him in his house, his temple. May I ask you this morning, what is the one thing that you desire more than anything else, that 1,000 days of everything else would not matter compared to one of the days of that? It's okay to have it askew in your priorities, because God isn't here to say, you've done well, if it is askew. But he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, if you'll let him put it right. The blessing and the internal revival of joy from God's strength comes from that. I ask you, 1,000 days elsewhere or 1 day in God's court? What matters the most? And do your days reflect that? Thank God he sent messengers to me that I can send this message to you today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that in the midst of the distractions of life, and even out of them, you call us to you. More than that, Lord, you desire us to know you. I thank you, Lord, for those who this past week spoke to my heart, who spoke words without fear, who spoke your truth, and brought me into accountability. Heavenly Father, may we, as we gather this morning, embrace your word to us and your message strike home for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, help us to step out on faith that your way is the way, the only way. Amen.
Sorry.
283 is our closing hymn. If you have business with the Lord, I invite you to do that while we sing, Where Could I Go? If you have desire to join up with this church, or to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're not sure what Jesus is all about, but you want to find out, I invite you to come and spend time at this prayer rail and rejoice in the Lord with me. 283. Give us a benediction.
Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're so thankful for the people that have come.
God, who will not suffer him to be burned to death, but if he first confused as a being who has confused the world, they shall not sit in the house, leave him alone, God will be good to someone, and we pray to you. Amen.
Hey there. Hey there. Bless you. Thank you. It's man, it's raining. It's keeping the pollen down, but I'm still sneezing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. What's your name again?
Brady Roberts.
Brady?
Brady.
Brady, I'm John.
Shorty.
Shorty's here,
yeah.
Hey.
Hey there.
Thank you. Careful there. Hey there.
Kermit Mingo, about that.
Kermit Mingo.
Kermit
the Frog.
I'm Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Alto.
I spell it last name.
A-L-T-H-O-F-F. I was looking to see if you got that hollow leg with you. Bless you. I turned it up more.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you could hear it or not. Right. I know. I mean, I turned the volume there up a little bit. I didn't know if that helped. I'm trying to move the speakers a little bit so I can point it towards where it doesn't squeal. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Good
doing
that.
Good to see you again. You know, you play so well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a blessing to my heart.
Well, good.
Tim, go ahead. Thank you, Tim. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you. You think we all needed to sing another?
No, you did good.
Oh, thanks. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you.
You're in full charge and you row the boat any way you want.
Doris.
Yeah.
How many was
Most of us is Doris Nell.
Doris Nell?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got a husband, but he had a water leak on the main line up there, and he's waiting on that Lord to come help
him. Oh,
me.
Goodness.
He's got a little protection. He works for the water company, so he's going to come and have to fix that back. Great, said, watch them. I don't know. I think you need them. Redo the whole line.
Maybe they ought to put one in and then break.
Yeah.
A good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to maybe you need
something. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you.
What I need today. I've been wasting my time.
Yeah, the Lord just... Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, you. Oh, right. Man, you strong. It's him.
Butcher. Plant's not shutting down. Not this time. They, last year they shut down because they didn't have enough work orders.